And as 2017 comes to an end, we want to spend a few minutes tonight remembering some of the people we lost this year, people who entertained us, provoked us, and perhaps made us think about the world in a different way. They were people who touched our lives with theirs.
My name's Bond. James Bond.
How soon can you get here?
Quick as a flash, Commissioner.
You broke my heart when you said we'll part.
It was really nice meeting you. You want to go where everybody
knows your name. So right, you can't be wrong. Rocking and rolling all free time.
How do you know when you love someone?
I think I love you.
A girl?
A girl.
Well, she was an American girl, raised on promises. She couldn't help thinking that there was a little more life somewhere else. After all, it was a great big world with lots of places to run.
Some of our best living is done through the people we leave behind.
Hi, my name is Kent Dorfman.
Grieving process, it takes time the closer you are to somebody.
What's going on here? Jim speaking about Napoleon. The short.
I guess I've always felt a man's belief and faith are personal.
Let's make a deal!
Thank you, and welcome to Let's Make a Deal.
Would you welcome Mr. Warmth, Don Rickles?
Well, why am I here tonight, Jerry? Because you could get hot again.
Will you please join me in welcoming Mr. Glenn Campbell, ladies and gentlemen?
Southern Nights, have you ever felt a Southern?
It's a long way to go. It's a long way to Tipperary, to the sweetest girl I know.
It's a long way to Tipperary, and my heart's right there.
role model to so many of us. Our thanks to producer Katie Remshin, editor Barry Silverman for that.
All right. Got a little just survey after you watched that this morning. I remember watching it when I was 15, 16 years old. And my thoughts at the time, I shared with my dad. You know, for those of you who are under 20, how many would say that you knew who more than 20% of those people were? You would say under 20, I would say most of the people, I don't know who they were. All right? That's a lot. Like, you didn't. And now, watch your hands on this. If you're over 50, how many would say you knew who the majority of those people were? Raise the hand. Okay? Now, the reason that's significant, I remember watching these shows back when I was a little kid, or not a kid, just a teenager, and saying to my dad, I don't know who any of those people are, Dad. Who are they? And the thing that hit me about it was, in 30 or 40 years, even the most rich, famous, powerful people in the world, people that are just 40 years younger than them are going to have no idea who they were, what they accomplished, what they owned, what kind of car they drove, what kind of power they had. Nobody's going to know, and worse yet, maybe nobody's going to care. Part of the advantage I have just being in my business is going to funerals all the time. I go to probably 3 or 4 a month. And it's a constant reminder as you sit there and listen to a funeral. I mean, how many would even, raise your hand on this, how many would say you go to a funeral 4 times a year? Raise your hand. Okay, that's not a lot of hands. I get to go a lot. And what I'm reminded of whenever I go is I wonder what they're going to say about me when I die. And I also think, what if I would die now? Who, how would they preach my funeral tomorrow? See, this is just something that's always going on in our mind. Guys, I need to, when we advance slides, do it with me here, okay? Always going through my mind. And the thing that about the people, last week we talked about having dreams. The people on the screen that you just saw, they all had dreams. And most of them accomplished their dreams. But here's the problem. They were the wrong dreams. They were wildly successful, many of them, at whatever it was they set their heart out to do. And they were good at it. They were just good at the wrong things. And this is part of it when we talk about last week and this week about having dreams. Go ahead, next slide. Just as it appointed once for man to die, and after that comes the judgment. Remember that. This is all these people who died in the past year, they die. They're going to die once. They're not going to come back for a second try. And then they're going to be judged by God, and you're going to hear one of two things, okay? And it's this. His master says to him, well done, good and faithful servant. I have, or you've been faithful over a little, but I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of their master. Yeah, Josh, will you bring me that, please? It'll work better with that. Thank you. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll set you over much. Enter in the joy of your master. Well done. Thank you, my brother. Well done. Which one do I want? This one? Okay, thank you. Well done. And isn't that what you want to hear someday when you stand before God? Well done. Okay? If you don't hear that, this is what you're going to hear. Cast that worthless servant out into the outer darkness, into the place where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth going off to hell. You're going to hear one of two things. Well done, or get out of here. I never knew you. And that's my goal in life. That's my dream. That's what we talked about last week, is we want to hear those two words. Say them with me. What two words do we want to hear? Well done. That's got to be our dream. Last week we talked about how the heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes steps. We have dreams, but a lot of times they don't go the way we planned. Secondly, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it's the purpose of the Lord that will stand. So if we want to accomplish our dreams, the main way to do that is we make sure that our dreams are God's dreams for our lives. This is critically important, okay? So here's the new thought I want to give you today, continuing from last week. is to receive God's dreams for my life, for you to receive God's dreams for your life, so that you hear that well done someday. Your job is just to be faithful. Don't let this overwhelm you. Your job is just to be faithful in the day today. That's it, the day today. If you're thinking about a whole lot more than that, you're going to get overwhelmed. Just deal with today. Some of us do a better job than others. My wife, for example, if I walk into a messy room, I just see a room that's a wreck. John is just like me. We walk into a messy room, and we just go, you know, let's just sit down and talk for a while. Okay, we don't know what to do. Dee walks into a messy room, and all of a sudden she's just got a plan. She has a vision for how that room should be, all right? And so John and I are spazzing out. It's too much. We just can't get anything done, you know? And Dee was like, let's just start with this. Get all the dirty clothes out of the floor. Oh, okay, I knew that. So I walk around to get the dirty clothes, and I got them in my hand. Now what do I do with them? Put them in the dirty clothes basket. Oh, okay, I can do this. One step at a time, okay? And so just be faithful in the day to day. Don't get overwhelmed. Mother Teresa said it this way. God doesn't call you to be successful. He just calls you to be faithful. Okay? Let him work out the success later on. You just be faithful in the today. Part of the way we do that is we find wisdom from those who've had success. Okay? The beginning of wisdom is this. It's almost like it's a joke statement, okay? The beginning of the wisdom is this. Get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. If there's anything you're going to get in this life, get insight. Prize her highly and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She, wisdom, will place on your head a graceful garland and she will bestow on you a beautiful crown. The thing that we need to value more than anything in this life is wisdom. And how do we go and get it? Well, there are two major ways. You read the Bible, okay? And the other one is you go to people who are wise in areas you want to be wise. I say this all the time. I try to say this at least 4 or 5 times a year so people will hear it, especially for my teenage friends up here, okay? If you need advice, the worst person you can go to is somebody who messes up every other area in their lives as well. Okay? If I need relationship advice, I don't go to somebody who's messed up 1,000 relationships. I want to go with someone who has positive relationships. I don't want to go to someone who's my peer doing the same exact thing I'm doing now. I want to go to someone who knows more about it than the rest of us dummies in the middle of it know. So be smart and go to people. How many times I see people, they go to 1 million people for advice. They don't know any better than you do. Go to someone who knows. If you're going into the business realm, find someone that's good at business. This is something I found with my friend Jim Hamer. We were in negotiations a few years ago about doing building projects here. If you don't know Jim, he's a great businessman. He's gone on to be with the Lord. We were going in, and our building project was up close to $4 million. And Jim was like, "Our it's got to come small." So we nickeled and dimed it down for a while, and we were still a million apart. We had to get it about 1.5, 1.6. And we were still at 2.5. And I'm like, we just can't do it. We're not going to be able to do this. He said, let's just go up there and negotiate. So we sit down with all the contractors and everything. And for the first 20 minutes, we're just sitting there talking about hunting and fishing and our families. And I'm like, man, we got to get this business done. We got to get back. And Jim's fighting cancer at the time. And he's laughing and yucking it up and talking about this big fish he caught down in Florida. And they're all laughing around. He says, all right, guys, let's get down to talking about how we can do what's best for the church and for your company. Now, this little item right here, does it really have to, could we do this our own? And I watched him for the next 40 minutes. Let's go from a $2.5 million project to $1.5 million. The dude saved us $1 million in 40 minutes. Now, how are you going to pay somebody that? What's their hourly rate? Okay? Saved us $1 million in about 40 minutes. And after saving us $1 million, these guys that he just peeled $1 million off when we got done, they were all hugging him and giving kisses. Hey, Jim, let's go fishing time. We love your family and, you know, everything. We're getting in the car and driving away. I'm like, I can't believe what I just saw. I mean, some people know that I like to negotiate or whatever, but when I'm in the room with a master, I just sit there and shut up. I just watched him do what he does. And he was great. And I'm like, how did that just happen? He said, Steve, just remember this. When you're talking with somebody, when you're working with somebody, this one thing I found. If people don't like you, they don't think you care about them, they're not going to deal with you. He says, just don't ever forget that. I've done business in all kinds of countries in the world. Doesn't matter where you are. If people don't like you, they're not going to help you out. And you got to care about them. He said, what we just did was good for their company. It was good for ours. It's going to work for the best for everybody. When it comes to advice on my career, Dee got me on this a few years ago. I had a mentor. He passed away. And she was like, who's your mentor now? I didn't have one. I had to go find a pastor who'd pastored a church about our size or larger for many years. And I call him even to this day now. Another guy. I'm like, hey, I don't know how to handle this in the church. Tell me what to do. For the last, 15 years, I've had somebody in this church, one person in particular, that when I'm addressing the culture of this church in this area, I would call one of our shepherds and I'd say, hey, here's an idea I have, but I want it to go well. I don't want to blow up things. How do I go about this, or should I do this? And Mr. Jack Ferguson, today is his last day as a member of our Council of Shepherds, okay? And I just want to tell you all this, that there's so many things that our church has done well over the years, and there's so many things that we would have just completely bombed and done horrible if I would have done everything that my dreams were. But I'd say, a lot of times I'd call Jack, what do you think about if we do it this way or this way? He'd say, you don't want to do that. And you know how many times in the last 10 to 15 years I went ahead and did whatever I wanted to do, even though Jack said, don't do it. You know how many times that's happened? Zero. Because I trust that he understands the culture of this church, especially those over 60. He understands how they think, how to communicate to them in a way that I want them to know that I love them, to value them. And just listening to Jack over the year, you don't see him up front, but I'm telling you, he is as much responsible for the success that we've had in this church as what anybody else in this building is. Doesn't mean he's perfect. He's made mistakes. Sometimes we argue a little bit, not much. We go back and forth. But you know what? We've always agreed to move forward together. So right now, this is what I'd like to do. The Bible says, honor those who honor is due. And I just want to give glory to the Lord for many, many. How long have you been a member here, Jack, or teaching and serving? 55 years of faithful service in this church. And it's not over. But a lot of times you wait till somebody can't hear you anymore or remember what you say before you honor them. And I want to do it right now. For all his years of faithful service, Jack, will you please stand to your feet? And my friends, let's thank Jack. He is our first shepherd emeritus. All right? We love you, Brother Jack. Thank you so much for your service. Well deserved. Thank you, my friend. Thank you. Thank you, Jack. Seek wisdom. Find those people, lean on them, listen to them. The thing I want to share with you is, listen, as a church, a lot of times you hear people in the church, especially evangelicals, talk about, man, you just got to have faith, you got to have faith. But the Bible also teaches that God rewards our faithfulness, our actions, how we live out our lives. Jesus said this, whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. But that faith always, true godly faith always compels us to works, to doing the right things. Isaiah says it this way, he who is noble plans noble things. That means he's got plans of doing the good things, and on noble things he stands. He does, he accomplishes those things. So what I'd like to share with you this morning, just over the next few minutes, I want to give you five things. And I gotta say this right now. The hypocrite meter is a little bit high on this sermon because I don't always do what I'm going to be telling you guys you should do. I'm trying to do better. I try to do better every day. I'm trying to be faithful in the day, okay? I got to be honest with you. This time of year, I'm not always faithful every day. This past week, with it being so cold, I don't know if this is true of you. It's after the holidays. I'm a little bit fatter. I'm a little bit lazier. I can't get out and exercise much. it's just, you just, any of you like me, you just, when it's below 20, you just want to lay in bed and eat more food and get fatter. How many of that's true of you? You bunch of liars. You got a problem. I know it's true of you. All right. You don't want to go out in this cold. So we struggle this time of year. I'm the chief of sinners on that, okay? But what I'm sharing with you today are just things that I've learned from talking to people I would consider successful. There are five things that they all have in common that they've all told me. If I would say, hey, what are five things you need to do to be faithful every day? Here are things that I've heard, some version of this in all their talks, okay? Number one is this, being faithful in the day-to-day, key number one, stay humble. Make sure your motives are Christ-honoring. Stay humble. Listen to what God says. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other. If you have these dreams that are all about you, God says, I'm not going to share glory with you. I'm not going to make you successful. Not eternally successful. You'd be like these people that, a lot of them that we saw on the screen that have temporary success, but eternally they're having zero success. I am the Lord, that is my name, my glory I give to no other. It's got to be about me. And then secondly, he says, my praise I don't give to carved idols. What are carved idols? Things made with human hands. When Dee and I were in seminary, we had some friends and good friends, a couple at our church, that were a part of a network marketing group, multi-level marketing group. And I'm not against a lot of those companies. I've been involved in some of them, but this particular one kind of rubbed us wrong. I don't even know if Dee remembers this or not. But they came down to our apartment in downtown Dallas, right beside seminary, and they said, we want to share with you a business opportunity. Okay, I'm all ears. All right, Dee and I are sitting there, and they opened up their book, and they said, you know, we live in this big fancy house. Wouldn't you like to live in a house like what we live in? And they had a picture of their big fancy house. And Dee and I kind of looked at each other, and they're like, meh. And he said, well, wouldn't you like to drive a car like I'm driving? And out front, there's this black Mercedes-Benz that he's driving. It's really nice. He says, Steve, I'm going to tell you what I did 5 years ago. I got a picture of that house that I had a dream of, our dream house, and I put it on our refrigerator door. So every time I went to eat, I saw a picture of that house that I wanted. And then I got a picture of that car out there. I got a picture. I always wanted a black Mercedes. So I got it, and I put a picture of that every day. And every day I woke up, and I said, I'm going to go out, and someday I'm going to have those things. And look, Steve, I got them now. He says, wouldn't you like to provide those things for your family? And then I kind of look at each other like, at 22, we were like, nah, it's not that important to us. And they were like, uh-oh, what do we do now? Do you remember that? And they talked for like the next 25 minutes, but it was kind of like Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, 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 wah. I didn't hear it. I wasn't sold. And when it was done, we were like, ah, no, thank you. You want something to drink before you leave? You know, and they left. I didn't want anything to do with it. Because listen, our goal in life cannot be to have physical things, things of this earth. If your dream of success is having some man-made something, God says, I'm not going to give that to you. The devil might give it to you like the devil offered it to Jesus during the temptations. God says, I'm not going to, that's not what I'm about. You might get that as a byproduct of your success, but if that's the goal of your success, God says you're missing out. If your goal is the praise and the glory of the people around you, God says, I don't share. No. Stay humble. It can't be about you. Your motives have to be right. Mary had this down. Mary said when she finds out she's pregnant with Jesus, she didn't say, look at me, everybody praise me. She said, no, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has looked on, keyword, the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. This is what God is in the business of doing when it comes to success. He lifts up those who are humble, who want to give him the glory, and he puts down those who are all about themselves and all about the material things. Make sure your motives are right. Stay humble. Key number two is this. Be enthusiastic about your vision for being faithful in the day-to-day, for the future. Be enthusiastic. I have to share with you, I have never known a good leader who has a melancholy personality. Have you? I've never known a good, successful coach who isn't excited about coaching that day. If you walk in, if you're a teacher and you walk up there and you're not excited about whatever you're teaching your kids, they're not going to learn. You've got to be enthusiastic about the vision that you have for yourself and those around you. And if you're not enthusiastic about it, whoever you're trying to lead to be successful isn't going to be enthusiastic either. Be enthusiastic about your future. I also say this, I have never met a successful lazy person unless their goal is to be lazy. They're very successful. Never. No good leaders are lazy. They are driven by their vision for excellence. Their vision for excellence, their vision for success that day gets them out of bed in the morning. Bible says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. In other words, it's like herding cats. Everybody run around everywhere. You don't have a vision for your life. But the King James translated, the people perish. You die because you don't have any hopes or dreams or things are dying off. But it says, blessed is the one who keeps the law, the person who is faithful in the day today. Apostle Paul says it this way in the New Testament, brothers, I don't consider that I have made it my own. Talk about his future, his goal for his life. But there's one thing I do. Here's the key to being successful. Don't miss this. One thing, whenever somebody, a big time successful person, and Paul is that, when he says, man, one thing you got to know, listen to what he says. One thing I do, I forget what lies behind. I'm going to say that before I move to the next part. He doesn't live his life with a rearview mirror. Paul could have gone the rest of his life, man, I can't believe how I used to kill Christians. I can't believe how I was so mean and angry and bitter. And no, look forward in 2018. In your relationships, in your jobs, your career, whatever it is that you're moving forward for, you have hopes and dreams for 2018, forget what lies behind. I'm just going to ask y'all, in about 20 years of marital counseling, how many times do you think I have a couple having problems come into my office and say, you know what? It really doesn't matter what he or she's done to me over the last 5 or 10 years. We just want to focus on the future. How many times do you think that's happened? Never. Never. People will come in and like, 20 years ago, he said this to me. And I'll look at him. I'm like, did you apologize for that? Oh, Steve, about a million times. Still holding on to it. Living a life focusing on what lies behind. And Paul says there's one thing if you're going to be successful in this life. There's one thing you got to be good at. And that is forgetting things. Some of you older folks are saying, praise God, I'm getting better at it every day. I'm really good at that. But he says this is the second part of it. Is that he's straining, he's striving, he's pushing forward to what lies ahead. What is it that lies ahead? The goal. The prize. What is the goal? What is the prize? The upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I'm pushing forward. I'm striving for the day I stand before Jesus. And all I want to hear, two words. What are they? Well done. What if you died tonight? Would you be able to say of your last day, God say to you, well done? Listen, I know some of you are in a struggle with family members right now. How do I know that? Not because you call and tell me your personal stories. It's because there are people in the room. Oh, he just spoke right to me. How did he know that was going on in my life? It's because you're a human. There are always interpersonal relationship issues. There are always fights. There are always failures. But what he says is you've got to forget what's behind and you've got to push forward so that someday God will say to you, well done. Get through it together. Well done. And then that vision inspires us to get up every day and to work hard. And that's point number three. Let your vision drive you to work hard. Be diligent. Solomon says it this way, the soul of the sluggard, you know what a slug is? A lot of times people don't know what a sluggard is. It's those little snails that crawl really slowly up your window, about an inch an hour. Okay? It says the soul of those little slugs craves, but they get nothing. Why? Because they're lazy. While the soul of the diligent is richly supplied, the hand of the diligent will rule, while the slothful will be put to forced labor. The hand of the diligent will rule, while the soft will be put to forced labor. I remember when back in high school, are the Cantleys here today? I can't see back there. Are they here today? We were in a chemistry class, and we had a friend in it that got beat up by the school bully. And should have been expelled, but they suspended him 2 days because we had a big football game on Friday night. He was back in. He had to play. And we all knew it wasn't fair. And so here comes our friend back to school 2 days later, big black eye, little fella. And he walks into class, and we're like, oh, man, you okay? He's like, I'm all right. And the chemistry professor comes up to him, who's a good student, good kid. He said, buddy, don't worry about it. Someday that guy's going to work for you. Someday that bully's going to work for you. And you know what? It came true. That dude's now the boss, making bank. And the other guy, I'm not going to say anything else. The hand of the diligent will rule. He worked hard while he was in school. He studied. He learned his craft. The slothful will be put to forced labor. It says, go to the ant, old sluggard. And consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, key point here, the ant works hard, prepares her bread in the summer, gathers food in the harvest. Watch that. She doesn't have a boss. Listen, teenagers, college students, especially when you go to college, you're on your own, you don't have a boss, the hand of the diligent will rule. Stay at it. Work hard. These are the people that are going to be running things someday who can work hard without a boss forcing them to do it, without a parent telling them to do the right thing. Work hard at what you do. I've said this to all our staff for many years. If I have to remind you what to do more than once, you're not going to be around here very long. I'm not going to be your boss and come around and tell you all what to do all the time. You got to figure it out on your own. I'll give you a little guidance here and there, but you're the one that's got to make this work. I tell myself that when I look in the mirror. And then I got a little too excited at the last service. I'm going to calm myself down a little bit. But this is what I'm finding in America, man. We're losing the idea of what it means to work hard. This is why we're in the shape we're in. Everybody wants to drive a nice car. So I'm going to give you a good goal. All right, you want to get good financial advice? Go to somebody who doesn't have two car payments. The Bible says, owe nothing to anyone. That's what it says. The last thing you want to do, it is so unwise to get a car payment, pay interest on something that depreciates. Been talking about it for years. It's a clear biblical principle, but yet we still got a lot of people running two or three car payments, $1,000 a month, $1,500 a month in car payments and insurance that you're having to pay. What? It's not wise. You want all the benefits, but you haven't worked for it yet. That's what debt is. You understand that? I want the money, but I don't want to work for it first. And that's why the bank rules over you. Consider the ant. She prepares her bread in the summer and gets the food at harvest time. She doesn't get her food first and pay for it later. We're losing the idea of hard work. And I think if we did that more as a nation, as a church, God would be blessing us so much. But it's just like people don't want to work hard anymore. I'm hearing this from employers all the time. Can you give me the name of someone under 30 who's willing to work? Because they all want benefits that the people been working here 40 years do. They all want to get paid like the people that have been working here 20 years get paid. Nobody wants to work their way up the ladder anymore. They just want to come out of college and live in the $250,000 house. Doesn't work that way, my friends. You know, there's a principle in the Bible, and now I'm really getting after it. I got to calm myself down. Every once in a while, D, just shh. Give me that. Just when I'm getting a little too worked up, just give me that. Okay? There's a commandment in the Bible that says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's one of the commandments, right? Charlton Heston bringing out the things. God wrote it on the stones, right? But there's another commandment within this commandment that we've forgotten. Here it is. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. 6 days. It doesn't say 5 days and 2 days off. You get 1 day off a week. The other six you need to be working. Man, thank God that he didn't quit after 5 days of creation. Otherwise, none of us would be here. Do you get that? There'd just be a bunch of birds and fish flying around here. God worked 6 days a week. We should do the same. Yeah, you get 1 day off. Everybody's like, well, how many days off a week I get? You get the one that the Bible says you get. That's it. Work hard. Whatever your craft is, apply yourself to that. Be diligent. Okay, I'll work 6 days a week. How about what? 5 hours a day? 6 hours a day? Well, I'm going to give you the biblical model, okay? We had an extra verse in there. In Matthew chapter 20, just remember, a biblical work model, Exodus 20, Matthew 20. In Matthew 20, it talks about how Jesus is given a parable about how a man goes out and finds his laborers. And in the marketplace, they would all gather at 6 a.m. and they would hire them out and they would work from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. The 11th hour worker, have you heard made a decision at the 11th hour? The 11th hour working is the guy that comes to work at 5 p.m. Okay? Only works for an hour. But in general, the expectation was you went to work at 6 and you got off at 6. Are you following me here? Now, I know this doesn't preach. Listen, my dad was a union organizer and he fought hard to get 2 days off. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with you having 2 days off, but on the day you, one of those days you have off, you should still be working at something. Don't just lie around and be lazy on both of those days. So what is the biblical model for a work ethic? 6 days, 12 hours a day. The millennials are like, blah, blah, blah. When God created Adam, he put him in the garden. This is before sin ever entered the world. He put him in the garden to do what? Work it. God created you, my friends, to work. To learn how to work. Somebody, well, how do you spend time with your family? You know, listen, my kids' events and stuff like that, I've made a point to be at those. But I don't just sit around looking at Titus 4 hours a day. Hey, son, you want to talk? I mean, when they were 5 years old, they didn't push me out the door. I mean, they never said to me, Daddy, you've played with us enough. That never happened, but I had to keep a job, okay? But as they start hitting 8, 9, 10 years old, and I'm saying, how's your day gone or whatever? They're like, okay, Dad, we talked 30 minutes. It's enough. All right, D and I just don't sit around for 3 hours every night talking about our feelings. You don't need 10 hours to spend with your family or 8 waking hours every day to spend just doing whatever you do. And I'll tell you, for those, all the time people say, well, then I won't have enough time with my family. How many hours you spend a week on social media and watch TV and movies? As if God created you to sit around and watch movies. So many ways we waste our time. Just be productive. Here's what I'm saying. 6 days a week, be productive 12 hours a day. That's the biblical model. Be productive. It doesn't mean you're at your workplace or whatever, but just be productive. Work 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. But on the Sabbath day, make sure you take a day of rest. My hypocrite meter's up because if I err, it's on the side of not taking a full day. And I apologize, that's breaking a commandment as well. But being lazy 2 days a week is breaking the same commandment. Do you hear what I'm saying? D didn't tell me to calm down, so I guess I'm doing okay. All right. The next one is this. A lot of people are working hard, but they're not accomplishing anything. Man, you can just hear it this time of year. Hey, how's your Christmas? Oh, we were busy. Oh, we were so busy. What'd you accomplish? Nothing. Listen, if you work hard but you don't plan, you might as well not work hard. Plan your work and then work your plan. Prioritize. James says it this way. He says, come now, you say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such town and spend a year there. All right, you got your plans for 2019, what you're going to be doing. He says, man, you going to trade, make a promise, all these dreams? He says, you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. What is your life? For you're a mist that appears for a little time and then you vanish. Instead, you ought to say, well, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. So this is my prayer every day. I ask you to make it your prayer as well. By God's grace, I'm going to get at least three things done today. And for us in Appalachia, that would be a huge accomplishment. Here's one of my days off. It's not the Lord's Day. It's not Sunday. On my Saturday, I'm going to get at least three things done today. Okay? Now, there are two things that show your priorities, and they're this. It's the calendar and the checkbook. Now it might be your calendar and your online account. Don't say, listen. How people say, man, Steve, it's just such a priority for me to have a godly relationship with my wife. I just want my wife to respect me. And then I'll say, are you praying with your wife every night? No, not as much as I should. I wish I would every day, but I don't quite. Listen, don't tell me your priority is to have a godly marriage if you don't pray with your spouse every day. Get it on the calendar. If you value it, write it down. Make sure it happens. Let there be no excuse for that which is most important to you. Listen, this is just easy. Charles Stanley taught me this. This is what you do. You wake up in the morning, and whatever is the most important thing you have to do that day, do it first. Second most important thing, do that second. Third most important thing, do that third. That way, at least you'll get the three most important things done that day. Get it on your calendar. Write it down. And then as far as your finances, where are you putting them? Are you spending in such a way that will lead you to accomplish your dreams? And I pray that your dreams are God's dreams. Teenagers, I'll say this. You don't have a checkbook yet. Y'all broke. You ain't got no money. Okay? This is how you see your priorities. It's still your calendar. How you going to spend your time? Are you getting better at what it is you want to do? Every day you work on it. Practice piano, play a musical instrument, read a book. Don't just waste time. You want to be successful 20 years from now? It starts with being successful, faithful today. Today, today. How you spending your calls? Who you texting? All right, and finally, number five, practice mastery. Keep learning. Whatever it is you're doing and you're good at, get better at it. This is something I just challenge myself with. Sometimes people say, man, you're a lot better preacher than you were 5 years ago. Okay? Thank you, Phil. He gave me a big amen on that. All right? And then sometimes people will say, was that a backhanded comment or what? You know, I don't know what they meant by it, but I take it as a compliment. Because if I'm not any better a preacher than I was 5 years ago, what does that mean? I'm not improving. I'm not getting better. None of our goals should be to be as good as what we are right now, 5 years from now. That should never be our goal. How am I advancing? How am I doing better spiritually, family-wise, career-wise? Practice mastery. Whatever it is you do, get better at it. Keep learning. Let the wise hear and increase in learning. That's what wise do. They get wiser. The one who understands obtains guidance. Man, this is hard with my son in the room, so I'm going to make a general comment. And Lucas, I don't want you to think I'm firing at you, but I kind of am, all right? But this is fact, all right? I got to share this with you, okay? How many times you go to share with someone who's a little bit younger than you or whatever, and you try to, now, here's how you want to do this. Explain to them, this is how you're going to go about whatever. And they say, I understand, I know, or well, you go tell me this. You think I'm stupid or whatever. This is what it says. If you already understand, what do you still need? Guidance. Don't ever say when someone wiser than you, older than you, that's what I'm saying about Jack or whatever. When Jack would say, now, Steve, you've got to watch this. Never have I said, I understand, Jack. You don't need to tell me that. I've got it all figured out, man. No, I'm going to listen to what he has to say. The one who understands still needs guidance. An intelligent heart acquires knowledge. If you got a 110 IQ, what do you want it to move to? 112, 114, 118. The intelligent heart acquires knowledge. The ear of the wise says, I'm wise enough. No, the wise seek more knowledge. Give instruction to a wise man and he will still be wiser. Teach a righteous man and he will increase in learning. Teach me, teach me, teach me, teach me. Become the best at whatever it is that you do. A few years ago, Dee and I went on vacation, and we go to these nice places, and I'm going to tell you again, everybody doesn't do it. I'm going to tell you how to do this. It works. I don't know why everybody doesn't do it. I'm trying to give you your time off when you actually do take a break. The Bible says you should have 3 or 4 weeks of vacation a year. Did you know the Bible says that? Take 3 or 4 weeks off. I hope your employer allows you to do that at some point, okay? So we make a point to do that. We try to do 1 or 2 weeks, just me and D. Forget the kids. I mean, when they were 6 months, you know, I'm like, feed them the fake milk. Let's go, you know? And so we went down to Mexico. This is how we do it. 1 year, she will get, you never know what you're going to learn at church. She gets the U.S. Airways mileage card, 60,000 miles. Okay, if you get this credit card, no annual fee. So we get that to 60,000 miles. That's 2 tickets to the Caribbean. All right, praise God. And then we also get the hotel card, 80,000 Marriott points. That's good for 4 or 5 nights in a Marriott. So I get the Marriott card. She gets the U.S. Airways card. We fly for basically free. We just pay the taxes. We stay in the hotel 4 or 5 nights. And the next year, she gets the Marriott card, and I get the U.S. Airways card. Then we cancel the first year card, and we do it again the next year. We just keep switching, and we get all these free vacations. It's simple math, okay? One of the other things we also do when we don't have enough hotel points, we're banking them up so we can go to New York because it's ridiculous what the hotels cost there point-wise. All right. One of the other things we do is we go to the timeshare deal. You ever do that? You get the cheap vacation. You can stay there for a full week for $300, meals included. But you have to sit through the torturous timeshare spiel. And so we just walk in and pretty much we tell them, we listen to what they have to say a little bit. And I just say, if you can do this for me, I'll do it. And it's some ridiculous price. Like for $2, I'll buy into your $20,000 system. We're not going to do that. Okay, well, then we're done. We'll just save you time. And so we get out there. You know, they wanted you to be there 2 or 3 hours. We're there maybe 30 minutes. Okay? And so we get out there. So we're at this one place, $750 a night place. We're not paying that. All right? $750 a night. And they're having this big wedding. Okay, and they come out. It's like 50 people having the wedding, and it's over. And one of the guys from the wedding comes over next to me, and I'm sitting. I said, "Man, that's awesome! How many people y'all got down here?" He said, "Oh, 50 people." I said, "That's incredible." I said, "Now, I said, man, it's $750 a night to stay here. All y'all came down here and paid that." And for he said, "Yeah, we've been here 3 nights." He said, "Well, we didn't pay for it." I said, "Well, who did pay for it?" He said, "The father of the bride." And I said, "What? I mean, this." I mean, you do the math, $2,250 per room. He said, took care of an airfare, too. And I'm like, what? I said, what does this guy do? Is he like the president of GE or something like that? He said, no, the dude's a plumber. And I just thought to myself, I need to go into plumbing. Someday John is going to get married. I'm going to have to make plumber money. And then I was thinking about this week. You ever see someone put on Facebook, somebody give me the name of a plumber? Are there 50 names that come up on Facebook? No. It's like 2 or 3 people. And now everybody's pipes are bursting, stuff's breaking down, and you call the plumber and he says, it'll be $200 an hour, and you'll say, I'll take it. And you pay it. Why? Because they're good at what they do. They've learned mastery. And I don't want you to think that only certain crafts can be masters at it. Here's what I'm saying. The people of God ought to always be learning, improving, so that we are the best at whatever it is that we do. No matter whatever. We should have the best musicians. Why? Because we're working. We're diligent about it. We should have the best doctors. We should have the best attorneys. We should have the best teachers. We should have the best plumbers. We should have the best electricians. All because we're constantly working and learning to get better at whatever it is that God has called us to do. Some people will tell you, listen, teens, listen to what I'm about to say. You're getting ready to choose your college major. Listen to what I'm about to say. Some people will say to you, do what you love and you'll be happy. Okay? Hey, I used to love playing Pac-Man, but nobody's going to feed my family because I can eat ghosts. All right? Do you understand what I'm saying? I love playing video games. All right? I brought Lucas Star Wars Battlefront 2 Christmas present. Do you really think that was just for him? Okay? I love doing that. But I can't spend all my time playing video games. I got to get better at whatever my craft is that God has given me. This is what I want to say to you. Find what God made you good at doing and learn to love it. Then you'll be happy. Find what God made you good at doing and learn to love it, get better at it. Then you will be blessed. That's how it works. Do what you love to do. You'll do that if you do what God created you to do. Learn to love it. I had no desire, zero, ask my wife, to start pastoring this church back in 2004. I applied to 30 other jobs trying to get out of here. Jeremy Napier, when he applied for, how many positions did you put on in for over in China other than here? You were applying how many places? How many? Hundreds. And they all told him no. Total rejection. There was only one place that would give him a job, and that's because I knew him. But this is what I told our search committee. Jeremy can do this, and he'll work hard. And you know how I knew that? Because when he was down in Dallas, full-time student, and Sharon would push at him to study hard, you weren't a 4.0 student at Huntington High, were you, dear? But you made good grades at Dallas. That's because his wife did his work for him, okay? That's why he married her. But she couldn't take those tests for him. He worked hard. He got himself ready. And while he was doing that, you know what else he did? He worked full-time at AT&T. And you know what else they did? They also did youth ministry at a local church. Were y'all even getting paid for that? Just like $100, $200, I mean, almost nothing. And I thought, anybody that will work that hard, that many hours a day, they can do this. Did you dream to be a youth pastor someday? Was it your dream when you were 14 to be a worship leader? You weren't even going to church yet. But you're good at it. Find at what God has gifted you to do and develop that craft. And then you'll be blessed. Stay humble. Have a vision. Work hard. Prioritize your time. Keep learning and keep improving. And leave 2018 to God. Let's go to the Word in prayer.